Morning, church. Hear these words from Isaiah 9, 1 through 7. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness, from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
You've heard a Christmas text, a Christmas message that you're probably familiar with, but you realize that everything changed when that message actually became a messenger. When Jesus actually showed up, the presence of Christmas. As you think about Christmas, you probably recognize and realize that gifts will be exchanged and all that is coming about. And if you think about gifts in your life, you have probably put more presents in the trash, in a garage sale, or in a thrift store that you've been given over the Christmas years of celebration than you've actually kept. You start doing the math. You start thinking about the gifts that you've kept. When I started walking through the heritage of my stocking, here's one of the gifts I've kept. To you, it's a hammer. And if you grew up in my house, there was hammers in almost every box. There was a gob of hammers to be found and to be used, but this hammer's way different. You see, my grandpa, I don't know that he ever knew what was in a Christmas gift bag. He was the grandpa who sat in the station wagon and did the crossword while grandma was in shopping. And grandma always delivered the Christmas bag with the tissue paper, and we would open it, and grandpa was just as shocked as we were about what was in it. But one year, grandpa called me into his man cave. And right next to his recliner was a glass Christmas tree with multicolored lights on it. And he handed me a brown paper lunch bag. And he said, Merry Christmas. And when I pulled it out, it was this hammer. It was an invitation from my grandpa to become a builder. He knew there was plenty of hammers, but I needed my hammer. I would build my first doghouse with this hammer. I would be a part of multiple home renovations with my hammer. I would roof a lot of houses with my hammer. I've since exchanged this hammer for a much better hammer and often a nail gun. But nothing actually replaces the invitation, because this isn't just a hammer. This is a hero hammer, because it was delivered from a messenger. My grandpa, well, he's the age of a grandpa. But as I think about other stockings that I've opened up to you, this is paper. probably to be recycled or thrown in the trash can. If you're like me and have kiddos, you know that the amount of paper that comes into your house, there's no hope of you getting that amount out of your house as quickly as it comes in. And so as parents, you know, you try tricks. I gave mine away earlier, but you know how you open the trash can, you find some clean piece of trash, you lift it up, you stuff paper underneath of it, and you set it back down so that when the kids open the trash, they're not hurt that you gave away their prized possession. But there's just no way you can keep everything that's memorable, but by golly, these will be kept. Because last year at Christmas, my youngest daughter's story, 6 years old, I open up a gift bag that has these in it, and I, like you, I'm like, paper, uh-oh, what do I do? What do I say? Story, can you tell me what I got for Christmas? Dad, you're the only person in the house who doesn't have slippers. We wanted you to have your own pair of slippers. They're custom fit. She went to the closet and found my shoe and traced out the size and cut that out. And my daughter knows that Dad doesn't go anywhere. No shoe that I have do I not put a special insert in to help me walk. And so you might see it as toilet paper, but it's actually cushion that's on these slippers so that I can walk on them. And you know that every good pair of shoes has a logo, right? And these are logoed with hearts. It's an invitation from my six-year-old to be a part of the family. Like, the age of the messenger doesn't matter, but the messenger matters. The presence of Christmas. We planned this series months ago. Little did we know how much we were going to need this message as a church. Some messages are really, really exciting to share. This week, we had the joy of baptizing an older couple who wanted to find a new identity in Christ on Friday. Friday night, we had the awesome opportunity to gather with a bunch of ladies where there was all sorts of creativity displayed, and they ate together, and they sang together, and they laughed together. And there was wonderful speaking and a great spoken word. And it was worthy of celebration because the one in whom we gathered around is always worthy of celebration. Some messages are really excited to be the messenger for. And then there's other messages that aren't so exciting. This week has been heavy. Every week we take serious the prayer requests that come through. But this week they just kept stacking. One couple put to rest their aging mom. Another young guy who's been coming to church here found out he had a 3-inch brain tumor. And this week he had a surgery down in St. Louis that they weren't sure how it was going to go. And it's gone okay, but there's a lot of recovery in front of him. One lady, her sister has been on a ventilator, still on oxygen, not sure how that's going to end. Another young family that this church has cared so deeply for and does love and always will love. A beautiful smile, a beautiful girl filled with so much life, has lived more life in her short years than most of us will get to live in an extended lifetime. But the weight got too heavy. And this week, one of our own 25-year-old young lady decided the weight was too heavy and she took her life. And we carry. We carry as the church because that's who we are. We carry the highest of highs together and we carry the hardest of hards together because that's the call of Jesus through the presence of Christmas is to be the messengers of Christmas. As we carry this, can I just help us put this into context? Everybody's going to celebrate Christmas this year. Everybody, the masses are going to gather around a date on the calendar, a holiday on the calendar, and they're going to gather. But a few people will gather and actually experience a joy that is unimaginable. They will actually, well, they'll meet the ultimate messenger of Christmas, because it's not about the message. It has always and will always be about the messenger. Let me invite you into Titus this morning. This is the letter we're going to use through December to help us understand the power and the presence of Christmas. Jesus, the ultimate messenger. If we look at this text, verse 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God, our Savior, to Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Savior. This is just the introduction to the letter. And it's really easy to read an introduction and just to glance past it and go like, well, let me get to the good stuff of the letter. So you could just run right past it, or you could read it carefully and be like, what? He packed a whole lot into four little verses. I don't want us to miss the mega themes that are in the introduction by being distracted by the nuances, but I am kind of intrigued by the nuances that are within this introduction. And so let me just help us out a little bit. If you're capable of putting up a Christmas tree, then you are capable of understanding and living out the message that we're about to receive this morning. You capable of putting up a Christmas tree? You've done that before? You know, like, the basic things of a Christmas tree, right? There's a stand. Your stand could be a bucket, it could be a lot of things, but you know you have to have a stand to put up the Christmas tree. And if you've done this before, you know that that stand needs to withstand everything that's coming at that Christmas tree this season, because you know the cat is coming. And if the cat doesn't get your Christmas tree, you know the kids are going to yank on the ornaments, and you're hoping that stand will do anything and everything to make sure that that Christmas tree weathers anything that comes at the season and doesn't end up toppling over. A Christmas tree needs way more than a stand, though, right? If it's just a stand, it's a bucket in your living room. But you got to have a tree. Some people choose the artificial tree. Some people go out and cut the tree down as a family and bring it back in, and they put it into, but you have to have a tree. It's what helps us understand that Christmas is here. It's a change of scenery. It's a change of environment so that we know that there is something to be celebrated. Now, this next statement might be a little bit controversial, but I would suggest that a Christmas tree has to have lights, right? Like, if it doesn't have lights, it's just a shrub in your house, right? Like, every Christmas tree needs lights, because it's the light of a Christmas tree that captures people's imaginations, that draws them in to say, oh, it's more than a shrub, it's Christmas. It's also the lights that keep the Christmas magic going in the darkest of hours, right? Where you can see, and it's the lights that illuminate the themes and the ornaments that share of the heritage and the memories. We know that a Christmas tree has a stand, it has a tree, and it needs lights. That's the passage that we're in this morning. Titus, in his introduction, tells us there is an ultimate messenger who is the stand that holds us together in any and every season, with the highest of highs that we rejoice in and the hardest of hards that we navigate. Listen, in just these four short verses, this is the name of the ultimate messenger as described by Paul to Titus. He says God. He says Jesus Christ. He says a God who never lies. God our Savior. God the Father. Christ Jesus our Savior. That's the stand. That's what holds us up. But there's also a Christmas tree. In verse 2, you'll see it. You kind of have to piece it together, but here's the message. It says, the message of faith, anchored in truth, aligning with the nature and the character of God, casting hope through the promises of God found in Scripture. That's the message that we have. And then there's the lights. There's the ultimate messenger. There's the message of hope that he delivers to each and to all that they might be redeemed. But then there's the lights that illuminate that message, that share the heritage, the history, the memory, the ongoing life change that a living and active God gives. The two messengers that show up in this specific text is Paul and Titus. You see it in verse 1. It says, Paul, a servant, a messenger of God. Titus, my true child in the common faith, a messenger of the faith. You need to know something about these messengers. Paul, he knew business. He knew politics. He knew religion. He knew social interaction. He knew all of those things, and yet his soul was still empty and aching. And he met Jesus Christ, the living God, the ultimate messenger. He had heard the message before, but when he met the messenger, it changed everything. And he shares his testimony in Galatians chapter 1. And as he's sharing his testimony, he also shares that when you meet the messenger, it changes you. And you have more than a Christmas story to experience. You have a message of Christmas to deliver. And so in Galatians chapter 2, he says, taking along Titus. This was about partnership. This was about being in this together. And over in Corinthians, Corinth was plagued with the misuse of power, and Paul and Titus are speaking into that and their partnership. Two guys who by heritage shouldn't be partnering, but because the gospel transforms people, a Jew and a Gentile partner together to help people understand greater clarity in Jesus' redemptive work. And we see that their partnership and how Titus becomes a key piece to helping Corinth see through the lens of the gospel and live out of this message from the gospel. And I just have to ask you, have you been transformed by Christmas? Like, have you been changed by the ultimate messenger? You once were this, but when you saw Jesus, God, come alive and do a redemptive work in you, you now are this. And becoming more of the identity that God is calling you into. If that doesn't ring true inside of your being, can I invite you to not celebrate the Christmas holiday this year? Can I invite you to do something far grander than that and actually meet the messenger of Christmas, because he will change everything for you. And he will make every Christmas from this time forward be so much grander than you could ever grasp or imagine, even in the hardest of hearts. Would you consider receiving the ultimate messenger? If you know Jesus says, Lord and Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. If you know that to be true, can I just ask you another question? Who's alongside of you this Christmas? Who's the Titus that you're pouring into, that you're shouldering life with, that you're allowing the gospel work to say, hey, we shouldn't necessarily be connected, but because of what Christ has done through Christmas, we now have a new message to share with the world. Have you met the ultimate messenger? Because the message of Christmas is just another story unless you know personally the messenger of Christmas. And if you know that, would you be willing to become a messenger? Would you receive the invitation to do that? I know. Some of you, you see a Christmas tree, you see Christmas lights, and you're good to just keep walking or driving. And then there's others of you. You see a Christmas tree and you can't help but to stop and to walk up to it and to analyze it and to see all the memories and the heritage and the themes that are on that Christmas tree. Some of you just want to dig in and see. And others of you are good with just knowing it's a Christmas tree. And so this morning, I just want you to know you have everything you need to this point to walk through Christmas through the letter of Titus, that there is an ultimate messenger. There is a message worthy of receiving, and you have been invited to become a messenger. So now you can take a Christmas nap if you're a passer on by. But some people like to grab hold of the ornaments and to look at them. And I'm just going to take a few ornaments off of the Christmas tree of this text and walk us through them. And if that would be helpful and a joyful experience for you, that's what we're going to do over the next few minutes. Do you see it in verse 1? Here's the first ornament we're going to take off the tree. It says, God's elect and their knowledge of the truth. Some people are going to read that and go like, what do I do with this God's elect and truth and knowledge? And well, when you see God's elect here, can you recognize that when you received Jesus as Lord and Savior, you were given a new identity? And those of us who have received a new identity, we were chosen on purpose by the one who is victorious, Jesus, the saving King. We were chosen on purpose for a purpose, to become messengers that people might meet the ultimate messenger. But he goes on and says, their knowledge of the truth. Notice that there is a personal recognition of the truth that has been delivered about the nature and the character and the work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And he says their truth, it has become personally recognized in a way that it is becoming a part of them. It is who they are and what they do. As we put that ornament back on the tree and just explore another one, this is probably my favorite ornament on the Christmas tree that I get to share with you this morning. It's in verse 2. It says, the hope of eternal life. The hope of eternal life. I'm so grateful for this ornament. The hope of eternal life. It's not heaven, just far off out there somewhere someday. This is a God who chose to be near his people, to bring his presence toward us. This is the hope of heaven and the fullest presence of God at some point, but it's not a wait until then. It's an invitation to receive and to become a part of and to share the very presence of God with others. It's the hope of eternal life. And as we walk through over the next few weeks, this letter that Titus or that Paul writes to Titus, we're going to see some incredible work. And we're going to see this hope of eternal life come alive. Specifically in chapter 2, there's a Christology. And in chapter 3, there is a gospel poem, and both are going to help us understand the power of the presence of Christmas. But can I just give you a taste? Because if you're going to read through the rest of the letter, you're not going to see it say the hope of eternal life. It's actually going to show up in different language. The language you're going to see it come in is appeared or appearing. I'm just going to give you a taste of it this morning. It says, the hope of eternal life appeared. The hope of eternal life in chapter 2 says, the grace of God has appeared. It's shown up. The hope of eternal life, again in chapter 2, is the appearing of the glory of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's the hope of eternal life. In chapter 3, it says, the hope of eternal life. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. You see, the presence of Christmas, the appearing of Christmas, the appearing of God in the flesh changes everything. But hope needs messengers. It's an invitation to help people see heaven come closer, that we might see more clearly the presence of God. There's another ornament on the Christmas tree that I think is helpful in navigating the letter of Titus. And it is in verse 2. You see it. It's clarifying who God is. It says, God who never lies. This isn't just a character statement about God. It is that, but it's much more than that. When Paul is writing to Titus saying, the God who never lies, he's anchoring us in the stand of the message of Christmas and saying, this is who God is. He'll withstand anything. And specific to Titus, Titus is navigating a Cretan culture. He's in Crete, and the people of Crete, you would call them liars. Matter of fact, if you want to derogatorily speak about those who have the habitual desire to lie, you would say, yeah, you're a Cretan. Or if you're talking to a Cretan, you're going to make the assumption that they are, well, a liar. The text would actually say, kritizo, to be a liar, to be a Cretan. And Paul recognizes that their culture is filled with this. And he's saying there's Cretan culture, but Titus, you have been called amidst Cretan culture to become a messenger of Christmas or Christian culture. Truth, integrity, faithfulness, delivered by the messengers through grace and love. Titus is living and leading in a land where there's a battle of the gods. There's the God of Scripture, and then there's Zeus. And Zeus is calling people to do what they have to do to better themselves. And a lot of that is manifesting in extreme violence and sexual corruption. And, well, Titus is actually called to do something pretty hard. He's not called to do radical opposition, as we're going to see looking through this letter. He's not here to start a riot, to do some monster movement. He's also not called to do radical assimilation, meaning just to fit in and do what they do. Titus is going to be called to do radical presence, to recognize who Jesus is and then to live out of who he is through Jesus. It's radical presence. And so as we look at this ornament, I would just ask ourselves, does it fit us? Here in Quincy, and the surrounding areas that we're leading, are we in a battle of the gods? Where there's the God of Scripture and then the God of our guts? Well, I would encourage us that we too should not take radical picking of sides. Like, that's not going to do any good. If we radically pick a side on all the things that our world is divided over, that's not going to be helpful. But I would also suggest that we can't radically just throw away all of our convictions and beliefs to the winds of trends. So what do? I think we do the same thing that Paul is calling Titus to do. We be the radical presence that the world needs. Living in relationship with the ultimate messenger and then living out of that relationship in the way that we respond to people, that they might see with greater clarity Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. There's another ornament this morning that I would like to take a little bit of time with. You're going to see it in verse 3. It says, at the proper time, or God sent Jesus at the proper time. And you know, some 2,000 years ago, that God decided that a messenger needed to carry the greatest message of the world. And so he sent Jesus, born of a virgin, to live a perfect life, to die on our behalf a sacrificial death, to be resurrected from the dead, to appear to the disciples that he was alive, to be raised up to reign and rule as the victorious one for all of eternity, and to commission the Holy Spirit to come and dwell us that we might become the messengers of Jesus. we recognize that at the proper time, God did that in Christ. But do you know that Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. At the proper time, we need to become the messengers that declare the presence of Christmas. Timothy is one of those other messengers that we see in Scripture. Let me just read what Paul writes to Timothy, and maybe it would be helpful for you and I as we desire to become the messengers of the presence of Christmas. He says, first of all, then I urge you that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed, I was chosen, I was elect, a preacher and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. At just the proper time. Imagine if you and I would actually become living Christmas trees. That as people would interact with us, they would see that we have a stand that is not in any way and in any season shaken. That God is sovereign and good and just and gracious, and he knows how to weather all of the highest highs and the hardest hards. Imagine if you and I would become a living Christmas tree that would declare that message. That message that says, this is a message of faith, anchored in truth, that aligns with the nature of God, casting hope through the promises of God found in Scripture. Imagine if you and I were to become living Christmas trees, that when people would walk up to us, our light would shine in a way that we could share with them the ornaments of which God's heritage has helped us, and the memories that we've made, and the life change that we've experienced because of Jesus' redemptive work in us, and that we could offer him to do that for them through us. Imagine the opportunity to reveal that. The greatest message the world will ever know, you have the opportunity to help people see and experience and have a relationship with the ultimate messenger of the world. Imagine. Imagine the student who at every corner doesn't feel like they measure up. And you have the opportunity to sit with them and remind them that in Christ they're already enough. Imagine the family whose reputation has been tainted to all sorts of levels for whatever reason. They have fallen into such a dark space that they don't see when they look at the social world around them how they can climb out of a dark hole. And you as a messenger could create a sacred space for them to have a place to find a new identity in Christ and a new hope. Moving into the future that God has always been longing for them. Imagine as you go in and out of work that you might be a messenger of Christmas. When people walk through the doors of work, they oftentimes put on a mask and a shield to hide their insecurities, their pain, their ache. And you and I, as messengers, have the opportunity to create an environment, a relationship in which they might feel comfortable to actually take off the mask. And alongside of us, we can let them know that it's totally okay to not be okay. That in their mess, God is still present and at work. Imagine if Imagine if we would come together collectively as a church and say that the truths of God matter and people need to hear them and people need to engage with them and people need to be transformed by them, and we would partner with the Bible Project through our Rethink Christmas initiative, and people would get to hear and see with greater clarity the voice of the messenger. Imagine what it might look like for you and I to meet somebody in heaven that will never meet this side of the earth, and they walk up to us as a church and say, thank you. Thank you. You didn't know that when you sent that brown box, you didn't know my name. You just knew that I lived in one of the hardest to reach areas of the world, and you sent a box with gifts in it. And to be honest with you, they ended up in the trash, the garage sale, the thrift store. But what didn't end up in the trash was the relationship I had with that missionary messenger and the gospel that he taught me and the stand now that I have with a new identity in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Imagine if a church would take serious making sure people get the gift of the gospel in even the hardest to reach places. Imagine if this summer students needed a space, a sacred space to step away from all the pain and the chaos of this world and to have a week away just to be in the presence of God with sponsors and other students who are helping them navigate and pursue what it looks like to have a new identity in Christ. What would it look like for you and I to become the messengers of the greatest message the world has ever known, that they might receive and experience a relationship with the ultimate messenger? That's the invitation. To become a builder. To become a part of the family. So from one messenger to another. Just like Paul says, grace and peace. Would we deliver other people the ultimate messenger that embodied this message? For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The presence of Christmas. May we become the messengers.